You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I started out in the business track. I was always business savvy. But again, I had that burning desire for creativity and I had the heart for art. It wasn't until there's a career path that would lead me to understand and develop the business side, making deals, negotiating contracts, managing the financials of a Broadway show.
Welcome to the Black Business of Broadway, a podcast brought to you by the Broadway League and Black to Broadway. Here, we highlight the stories, how-tos, and successes of the Black professionals and legends of Broadway. I am your host, Janine Scott. Today joining us is Colleen Jennings Rogensack, who is the executive director of ASU Gamage, a regional performing arts center in Tempe, Arizona. We also have Kevin Taylor, who is making his Broadway debut as a general management associate on Waitress and Chicago. Thank you both for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you.
It's so good for the three of us to be together.
Colleen, you've been a mover and a shaker on Broadway for many years. Can you talk about your current leadership role at the Broadway League?
As the vice chair of the road, one of my responsibilities is to be able to look out after the concerns and issues that impact Broadway on the road, that impact the presenters on the road, that impact the crews on the road. But on a larger scale, we look at what we have committed to as a league, as a membership organization, and how does that impact us, not just on the road, but at Broadway, on Broadway as well. And our EDI commitment, I have a saying, there are two pandemics that we have been battling, the pandemic of COVID-19 and the pandemic of systemic racism. We know we're going to beat COVID-19. We know masks and vaccinations and air filtration and protocols will beat it. Systemic racism, it's us. It's us stepping up and remaining true to what we really hope to happen. So part of my role is that constant reminder. It's a constant reminder. And I think it's one thing that all three of us have done is all three of us are African-American. So as African-Americans, we are the constant reminder of the legacy Dr. King left us. We are the constant reminder of all of the Broadway royalty that's there, that the Audras and the Stokes and the Kenny Leon and all Broadway royalty, they are our constant reminders. And so I never see my role as monolithic, as one thing, but rather it's a broad-based thing. A, I have something to say, something to contribute, but B, there was a time if I wasn't on that committee, it did not look like our country. Mm. It was not diverse. Mm-hmm. So I sort of carry that with me. And I'm going to throw it back to you and on to Kevin, because part of that commitment I have is mentorship, right, is to make sure that there are more people that look like me, right, that look,
right,
like...
Right.
This country,
yes,
that,
yes,
serve on the league board and on the league committees and serve and work on Broadway and on the road.
So, Kevin, can you share with us a little bit about your journey, how you got here?
Yeah. So, first of all, I'm just always grateful just to have the privilege to be able to share my story and to be a part of this amazing conversation. This here is a sign of more inclusion and more opportunity and more visibility and creating a platform just to be heard. So I'm really grateful just to have this opportunity. And I'm super giddy excited just to be able to have my Broadway debut and have my first podcast with the one and only. I mean, she's been my mentor. I think she knows I call her this every now and then, Aunt Colleen. She's like my my dear auntie that just really makes the world of a difference. And Janine, you did mention that she has served in a huge capacity. She has such broad shoulders. But also for me, it was just the opportunity to see. And I mentor some young boys and the National Mentoring Organization. Their motto is what you see is what you will be. And that kind of hits home with me when I talk about my relationship with Colleen, is that she always makes the point to tell me this, that every theater in the country has a playbill. And those that have really, really special power, they're able to change that playbill to Gambill. But in that front page is that there's a picture of the person that has been charged with leadership of that organization. And it's on the very first page. And I remember years and years and years going to Gamage and seeing the incredible performances that they mount. But her picture is there. And it's not just her picture, but it's a picture of representation. And someone like myself that had pursued the opportunity to be in the business of arts and culture, it was so encouraging and so inspiring for me to see someone there. And not to mention just being in the business side of the arts, I believe there's plenty of representation that is on stage, but what's more important is that there are non-performing roles. I have had a very successful career outside of the arts, but I always had the heart for arts, and I knew that swimming upstream was something that I didn't want to continue to do, so I was ready to make that jump. So fast forward to 4 years later, the dream did come true, and I'm just truly grateful to continue to explore my career path in Broadway.
You know, one of the things I want to say about Kevin and whomever is listening, Kevin came and knocked on my door. And sometimes that's all it takes is to come and knock on the door. But he just didn't come and knock on the door. He came and said, I have these questions. This is what I think I want to do. What do you think from your experience? He came prepared. He knocked on the door and he came prepared. People will say that we have a pipeline issue. Mm-hmm. One of our colleagues, Kendra Ingram Woodlock, says, we don't have a pipeline issue. We have a doorbell issue. So mm-hmm. when someone is ringing that doorbell or knocking on that door, our job is to open it up and say, come on in. Come in and sit down. Come in and sit down. And then just as the three of us are doing, a conversation will ensue. And I really look at Kevin as a model for other individuals who say, I believe I want to do this, but how do I make that leap? Right. And the courage it took to make that leap. Yeah. I mean, this is sort of reverse pioneering. Instead of go west, young man, go east, young man. Go east, young woman. You two are reverse pioneers. Go east, young man. Go east, young woman.
That's so true. Yeah, well, thank you, Colleen, for those sentiments, because it was a big jump. As what Colleen is referring to, I packed up my family and moved across the country from Phoenix, Arizona, all the way to New York. So it's a big jump, but I'm so glad that I made the jump. And thank you for being there, being that bridge.
You know, Kevin, your story is like so many others. And to Colleen's point of being there and being a mentor and helping to guide you and answering that door, Colleen, I would say that you you have literally taken the door off the hinges. You have made it so that that door never closes again. Can you tell us or talk to us about what you see kind of in your preview? What do you see in the future?
I will tell you, one of the things is we continue to do this for ourselves. And I say we, I mean the royal we, and I think about the work that Black Theater United has done in the summit meeting with the Broadway League leadership and with union leadership to create the New Deal, to say, here are issues and challenges being a Black creative, being a Black creative administrator that we face. Here are some solutions, how we go forward, and here's where everyone makes their commitment. So thank you, Black Theater United, for saying, let's take this big leap forward and let's do the heavy lifting. Let's do that heavy lifting and then let's be accountable. Mm-hmm. So we had the summit meeting and it was the Broadway League leadership, Black Theater United leadership. Out of it came the New Deal. Out of the New Deal came a subcommittee of accountability called the 7G. And I'm a member of that committee as well with other leaders on Broadway, as well as my Broadway royalty. And I think that's where we are right now. We are, yes, there's a problem. Here's some potential solutions. Are we going to stay the course? What COVID did for us is give us those moments of reflection. What George Floyd's murder did was saying there's a sense of urgency. That yeah. There are things we must do. So I find that the future looks brighter and other individuals are speaking up. It isn't just Black and African American. Mm-hmm. Right. It's also our Asian and Pacific Islander brothers and sisters are speaking up. Mm-hmm. Our Native American, Indigenous brothers and sisters are speaking up. And our Latinx brothers and sisters are speaking up. So I think that there is a change afoot and it's too late to go back. There's there's nothing to go back to. And B, the world is richer and better. Broadway is richer and better when all of our stories are being told. When I have a saying, those who choose, those who choose. And people will go, what does that mean? And I said, someone chose me. I chose Kevin. Mm-hmm. Someone chose me. I chose Kevin. So because whoever that was that chose me, I got to choose Kevin and Kevin gets to choose someone else. Mm-hmm. So our roles will be as producers and general managers and heads of boards so that we choose those individuals who will choose content, who mm-hmm. will choose creatives, who will choose what direction this industry goes in. So I think we know that. We are seeing the result of it, and we just have to keep pushing and holding each other accountable. And this isn't just us. You know, if it was only up to Black people, then it would be done.
Right.
It's not. Right. It's not. Everybody has to be on board.
Right.
Exactly.
All people of color, all white people, everyone has to be on board.
Right.
Right. Kevin, you're nodding a lot. What do you say?
No, I'm nodding because as you serve as my mentor, I've heard those those great nuggets all the time. But every time I hear them, not out of redundancy, but they kind of strike a chord with me every time I hear them. I know what Broadway did last year, but the amount of Black BIPOC shows that made their Broadway debut yesterday. I was reading something this morning in the Broadway briefing that kind of alluded to what Colleen just said, and that is that those seven shows, if you twinkle those down, let's say half of those shows go on to license that work, and then that work now then goes nationally, then it goes global. But what the article was alluding to is that now that creates seven more or four more jobs, four more directors, 14 more persons of color, because we have the story and the work there, and it continues to build and grow, and it reaches and teaches, and it's really just laying, Broadway just laid the foundation and the fertilizer for equal and more increased opportunities for BIPOCs across the country.
Well, and Kevin, you said something earlier about faces and pictures and images. When I open, like, there's so many different Broadway newsletters, New York Times and things, and I see Janine's picture, I go, yes.
Yeah.
I go, yes.
Makes you want to smile.
It makes me smile. I don't have to want to smile.
You.
It makes me smile because there's also some young person, some little person, little girl, little boy, and I mean little, mm-hmm. out there going, oh, she does that? I could do that. Right. I can't tell you what it does. Both of you are like way too young, but I can remember
back in the day,
when I was little and my parents, we were in the Air Force, we moved a lot, but we were stationed here at Billy Mitchell and we would come to the theater. And I can remember when I saw someone who looked like me on the stage. I can remember how proud that made me feel. And as proud as that made me feel, I can remember when I came to the theater and there was an usher that looked like me.
Wow.
I mean, you have to understand, no one welcomed me in that theater who looked like me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I remember that change.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, people of color are ushers.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because that said, I am welcome.
Uh-huh.
I do belong here.
You belong.
So it's just, all of those things. Yeah. And then let alone when you begin to see producers,
mm-hmm.
you see Aaliyah Harvey Jones, and you see Stephen Bird, and you see Ron Simons, and you see Brian Moreland. You go, mm-hmm. We do belong here. We are doing those things. You know, when you see Kendra running a theater, and it just says, we belong. We belong. Yeah. And the thing that's amazing about this community is it's a welcoming community.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't like you get here and it's, oh, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, we're glad you're here. But when you come and you look around the room and go, okay, how come I'm the only one?
Right.
Then I have to say, okay, all right, this is nice, mm-hmm. but we need some more folks. We need
exactly.
And I was so proud of the Broadway League when we made our commitment to have greater diversity on our board of governors.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, the biggest smile on anybody's face in that room, mine. Because I was like, look at this. This is so amazing. And we did it as a board of governors.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a law. There wasn't legislation. It came from people's hearts mm-hmm. and deep belief that this table should look different.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shana Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shana Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
What do you say to those people who say, oh, this is temporary, or they're holding their own selves accountable? What? And the question of accountability comes up. What is your reaction? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings behind that?
I'm going to let Kevin go, and then I'll go because I've been talking a lot.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I always look at the world and life from a biblical standpoint. So I'm very optimistic, and I've learned to look at the glass half full. So I've always approached it very optimistically. But what I can say is I can see myself. And because I was on that other side, I had pivoted away from my dream. I was at the crossroads, if you will, of pivoting away from my dream because of the comments that you've mentioned in terms of doubt. Well, this is just temporary. Well, it never changed. But when you stay the course, you stay focused, you show discipline, and you have drive, that's what propelled me to. So now I can be a living witness that said, yeah, I understand your reasoning and your thinking, but if I can do it and I stayed the course, then there will be opportunity. We also believe that it takes a while and takes time to turn and pivot a Titanic. So to Colleen's point, if we keep those bullet points there, we recognize the problem, we have identified the solution, and now we want to stay the course and hold each other accountable to a much better and a more inclusive Broadway.
And Kevin, I would lift up your remarks, and I would add that there are enough of us to keep raising the question, to keep saying what we've done. And Janine, you know what a tremendous effort it was. Now to cast your Tony vote, you have got to have unconscious bias training. And you have to be able to, first we got to figure out, can we speak the same language? So now as part of the New Deal, we are committed to having an EDI officer. We're committed to training. We're committed to finding the same language, so we're speaking the same language. We're committing to making sure our creative teams are diverse. We're committed to making sure there's someone to do our hair, you know? So those things are tangible. Put a check mark beside it. We are doing it. And as long as those of us who are in positions to continue to ask those questions, to diversify our staffs, to say this is a commitment beyond just, I've signed my name on a piece of paper. This is what I've done. Right. This is what I will continue to do. This is what I'll do later. In fact, it's David Stone that says, now, soon, later. So there are things we can do right now, we're doing, things we will do soon, and things we'll do later. Because I get nervous when people say, well, it's going to take time. No. There are things that can happen right this moment. So what are we doing?
Right.
And then there are things that will happen in the next moment very soon. And then there are things that may be done later that we put it on a timetable, and that we will make sure that things like fellowships and paid fellowships happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that we're looking at diversification, even with our Jimmy Awards. You know, we're looking at diversification and how are we encouraging young people who are in our high schools to look at what work they're doing and to look at who's involved and how do we as venue operators, theater owners, are able to help and support that. I do think there is Cheryl Ifels, who is the director of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, said in one of our Broadway League discussions, Audra McDonald interviewed her. And she said, you do know the window's open, but that window is going to close. So the question is, how do we keep the window open and how many people are we pushing through the window as it's closing? Because people's attention does wane. So how do we make it an integral part? And that Tony voting is but one step.
Right. Exactly.
There will be more. There will be more.
I mean, because this isn't just a one-time commitment. You know, it's ongoing. You can't just take a training and then say, okay, I'm no longer have any biases.
Right.
Anti-racist. I learned it all. You know, you don't learn it all in 2 days.
No.
This is a lifelong commitment,
right.
And that we as league staff and you all as league members, where we have to hold each other accountable to make sure that we are continuing those types of trainings and those types of learning opportunities. Absolutely. And putting them out there so that they exist, so that there are no more excuses.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
That can be made.
Right. And it becomes part of our agenda. But by 2045, we will be a minority majority country. That's not that far away.
No.
No.
You know, maybe I might be retired by then. Who knows? But actually, the two of you won't be retired by then. 2045. Not that far away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Broadway has to be part of that change. Because who's going to sit in those seats? Right. Who's going to write those plays? Who's going to build that set? Who's going to design the choreography? 2045.
I'm always reminded of being intentional, but also continue to pay attention of the EDIs that you have within your organization, because it can become a box check or a Black History Month mm-hmm. initiative, and what happens the remainder of the year. When you walk into any office and you see another person of color, there's this immediate connection, and it's this accountability that we have amongst ourselves. I'm glad you're here. And how can we support each other? Someone is always watching. Someone is always mm-hmm. watching, and you'll be surprised who you are inspiring, that 12 or 13 year old mm-hmm. Non-performer that never even had the mm-hmm. opportunity to even discover there are non-performance career opportunities in Broadway. I'm that person. I didn't have my discovery until maybe my late sophomore year in college. I started out in the business track. I was always business savvy. But again, I had that burning desire for creativity, and I had the heart for art. It wasn't until there's a career path that would lead me to understand and develop the business side, making deals, negotiating contracts, managing the financials of a Broadway show. I didn't discover that until later in my life. So I also agree of feeding the pipeline and reimagining the ecosystem.
Yes. You know,
that's so very important. I pursued my dream, my goal, but what about those kids that are in the Camp Broadways that ASU does
right.
tremendously?
Right.
We have
right.
to reach that next generation, because you're right, 2045 is right around the corner.
It's soon.
So we have to reach early. And there's an old saying, each one reach one. And I think that's still right. is mm-hmm. so relevant mm-hmm. Today. So.
And Kevin, I think you also bring up a really important point about looking at the little ones from all of our mm-hmm. neighborhoods and communities. We just dedicated, Junior Achievement is an organization that teaches sure. business, and business mm-hmm. leaders in the community teach. And we have a BizTown, a JA BizTown, and different organizations like American Airlines or Nordstrom's. They have like little stores and shops, and the kids come through, about 25,000 kids, and they learn what the business is, and they operate that. Well, we just cut the ribbon last week on the ASU Gamage shop and BizTown.
Wow, kudos.
And Desiree Ong, who is our education sure. manager, built the education program. So they will learn how to be an executive director, what a CFO does, how wow. to raise money, how to do marketing, and how to book a performance. There wasn't any cultural representation in there. So kids mm. were coming to learn banking or how to run an airline and do this thing. Now they know how to run a theater. Now they right. know how to do Broadway. And there's like, we show videos of some of our B-roll from some of the wow. shows kind of run through there. So there's a little teeny tiny Janine and Kevin going through going, oh, wait, yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. I want to end with one final question. And it's a question that we've been asking all of our guests. What one piece of advice would you offer up to the future Black Broadway professionals?
Here's my advice. First of all, find yourself a mentor. And when you find yourself a mentor, you call that person up and say, I need 20 minutes of your time. And in that 20 minutes of your time, you come prepared with questions. And that person will then refer you to other people and then will open the doors. But find yourself that mentor who will support you. And more so than mentor, I'm going to use the stronger word, a sponsor. Because that person is going to say, I'm always looking out for opportunities for you. Mm-hmm. But people are out there. And if you don't know one, you know someone who knows one and be connected. So I think that is critically, critically important. And you belong here. There is a place for you and you belong in this industry. So those are my words.
Well, Colleen, since you didn't say your magic words, hope you give me permission. I'm going to quote you on it. We are brave enough.
Yes.
You just don't know that.
Yes. I was waiting for it. Yes.
Thank you, Kevin.
So please allow me permission to say those words.
Please.
We are brave enough.
We are.
When you share that, that statement, that scripture, or whatever you want to call it, it went on my vision board for 2022, and it resonates in so many ways with me in terms of being a BIPOC, exploring and navigating my pathway to Broadway. What helped me was identifying purpose and passion. I always kind of share this, that once you find your passion, we all have it, and that's that thing that you are excited to, or things that you can't live without, things you go to bed thinking about, things that you would do if money wasn't really an option. Of course, we all need, you know, some resources, et cetera. But what is your passion? And then also re-examine your purpose. We all have a purpose in life. And if you can match that purpose with your passion, and the hardest part is taking that jump and knowing that you jumped with or without a parachute, but you did take that jump and that leap. And once you fall, which you will, on solid ground, you have to answer these questions of being driven, being focused, and being very disciplined. During the whole pandemic, I had started my journey to Broadway, but the pandemic happened. But one thing I've made myself a promise was that I was going to be all things Broadway. I stayed home, I stayed safe, but what was more important for me, I stayed connected. I stayed connected to
very
the
good
industry that I wanted to pursue. And that word pursue, don't take it lightly. You have to pursue your dreams. Yes. Whether it happens at 22 or at 42, if that's what's in you, keep pursuing that dream and don't give up.
Yes.
Those dreams come true.
Yes. Oh,
yes,
perfect.
Do.
Perfect.
Thank
well
you.
Said, Kevin. Well
thank
said.
You. Thank you.
I want to thank our guests and you, our listeners. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend your time with me, and I am grateful. Be sure to subscribe at bpn.fm/BBB so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, tell a friend. I'm your host, Janine Scott. And we at the Broadway League hope you enjoyed this episode of The Black Business of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.